The popular TV show Survivor pits contestants against each other in a series of physical endurance tests. How long can they stand on a pole? How long can you hang on to a pole? Perhaps how long can you hang on to a pole while other people are trying to pull you off? It seems every episode I've seen has had poles in it. You get the idea. Well, in Psalm 40, the writer is describing a couple of survivor moments. In verse 2, he's stuck in the mud, or perhaps the muck at the bottom of a disused well. And he just needs to hold his nerve until a rescue appears. In verse 12, he's like a shipwreck survivor, being pounded by the waves, slowly losing sight of the shore. And in both cases, the question is, can he hold on long enough until a rescue appears? In both cases, he can't rescue himself. He's dependent on someone greater than him, stronger than him, who cares for him enough to save him. And in the first survival story, we're looking back and the rescue's already happened. He made it. By contrast, in the second survival story, we don't know the outcome. The psalm ends with a plea in verse 17, "Don't delay, God, hurry up and help me." Each of us face challenges that sometimes seem overwhelming. For me, in the last couple of weeks, there's been a few. St. Luke's has been burgled, not once, but twice. In the last few days, a wonderful member of St. Luke's passed away. A few days before that, I'd been called by the chaplain at Box Hill Hospital to come and pray with an elderly woman who was nearing death. And visiting hospitals at this time of pandemic brought me face to face with the reality of just how serious the threat to all of us is. And so I feel like I've had a few waves pounding over me lately, and my emotional reserves are running a bit low. Many of you watching this are feeling worried or lonely or tired or stressed. Maybe all of those things. How do we speak to God at times like these? And how does God speak to us in times like these? In Psalm 40, the writer is using these survival stories as a powerful image of the spiritual life. Everyone faces challenges. Everyone encounters situations that test our stamina and our strength. And in those challenges, our character and what we ultimately depend on is revealed. So whether you're heading into trouble or emerging out of a period of trouble, the right perspective is to turn to God. The right words to speak are cries to God and testimony to God's goodness. And the right heart is one that is honest before God. We need to hear this message of survival right now because it's clear that the public health restrictions on gatherings and social contact, they're going to last for months. And so if we are to stay healthy, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually, we need a survival strategy. So let's look for a moment at the perspective, the words, and the heart that is reflected in Psalm 40. Verse 1 explains the writer's perspective. He waited patiently for the Lord. Now, waiting patiently isn't resignation or passivity. It's an active, eager expectation that help is coming. The world is actively, eagerly waiting for news that a vaccine for this new coronavirus is coming. We trust scientists to ultimately deliver something that will save lives, maybe save our life. And you've probably also noticed the rainbows that kids are putting up in their windows or chalking on streets. That's an expression of active hope. And it should remind us, remind Christians of who created the rainbow and how that is a promise that God will not let humanity perish ever again like it did in the flood. For the psalmist, his ultimate hope is in God. And so in verse 1, who hears his cry? It's the Lord. In verse 2, who lifts him out of the pit? It's the Lord. Who sets his feet on the rock? It's the Lord. And then in verse 5, he compares God's accomplishments with everything else he knows. But there's no comparison. See, God is the one who sustains the wonders of the universe every day. God is the one who acted in history to deliver a people out of slavery and give them new life. He says this, many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Notice where the eyes of the writer turn. In verse 4, he says, the one who trusts in God is blessed, but not so the one who looks to the proud or turns aside to false gods or to false ideas. If we compare ourselves with others, we'll always end up stumbling. If we put our hope in pleasure or profit or power, we'll never have enough. But when we turn to Jesus, who promised that his yoke is easy and his burden light, we find a true helper in our time of need and a true foundation that is unshakable. In the second half of the psalm, where he is describing a trouble he hasn't escaped from yet, he says in verse 12, my sins have overtaken me and I can't see. Sins blinded him. Sin has stopped him being able to see God's ways clearly. Now, if you find yourself temporarily blinded by sin, look to the cross. See again at the cross the consequences of sin, but in that same vision, see again how vast is the love of God that overcomes sin like the ocean overcomes a drop of water. Spiritual survivors have a God-centered perspective. And spiritual survivors also speak words that hold up, that exalt and thank God. Verse 3, after God lifts him out of the miry clay, God gives him a new song of praise. And then in verse 9, he says, he has proclaimed God's saving acts and God's faithfulness in the great assembly. The Message Bible puts it like this, I kept nothing back. I told it all. How dependable you are, your love and truth, I didn't keep to myself. This spiritual survivor is not ashamed to shout about how good the Lord is. He gives public witness to God's mercy and kindness. And in verse 16, he implores everyone who has sought and found the Lord to declare, the Lord is great. So in this pandemic, even though we can't assemble as church, don't let that stop you worshiping God with your voice and declaring his praise in song. Words shape our attitude. If we speak out words of thanks and trust and confidence in God, if we sing of the Lord's great love, we will be anchored ever more strongly in God's goodness and faithfulness. If we speak words of denial, words of accusation, of blame, well, then we set ourselves to experience more despair, more turmoil. The Apostle Paul had a burning ambition, and it was to always speak words not shaped by human wisdom, but spirit-taught words of reality, gospel words filled with grace and truth and power to change lives, because they consistently pointed to his hope in Christ. Those are the words of a spiritual survivor. Now, thirdly, a spiritual survivor has a particular kind of heart. Right up front, we see that the writer of Psalm 40 is expressing a raw honesty. The fears, tears, the pain, the exhaustion he feels, they're not fake, they're not fickle. He is in life-threatening trouble, And he says in verse 12, my heart fails within me. The final verse of the psalm, as expressed in the Message Bible, says, and me, I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Make something of me. You can do it. You've got what it takes, but God, don't put it off. See, spiritual survivors are honest with God. They don't pretend. Now, maybe in these last weeks, you've come to the realization that you're in a spiritual mess. Maybe you haven't been honest with God. Now's a good time to drop the pretense that you're good enough for God and confess to him, I'm nothing. I have nothing apart from Christ. Make something of me. See, that's why Jesus came, to lift us up out of the pit of our own mess. And that's the offer of new life he holds out to every single one of us. Spiritual survivors reach out for that gift, that grace, and they humbly and hungrily seek God, their Saviour. And in verse 6, we see that they don't play at religion. Verse 6 says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. But verse 8, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. God doesn't need our rituals. God doesn't need our religiosity. God wants our devotion, our dedication, our obedience. That's what the heart of a spiritual survivor looks like. Now, what does that look like perhaps in practical terms during lockdown? Well, just to pick one example, Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So we can't physically meet together. What can we do to build up our spiritual survival rate? Well, we need to put more effort into expressing care and support and encouragement through other means. Zoom meetings, emails, instant messaging, a simple old-fashioned phone call, or cards and letters and flowers. Spiritual survivors look out for the spiritual well-being of others, and they have a heart to bless others, to bring hope and healing to others in the midst of the storm. It's only a week since Easter, and I pray you haven't forgotten the cross and the empty tomb as the ultimate act of spiritual survival. Ephesians 1 verse 19 promises us that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is also powerfully at work in you and me. We are spiritual survivors because Jesus is alive. He's alive in us and working powerfully in us as we cultivate the right perspective, the right words, and the right heart before God. Our great God, who raised Jesus up out of the pit of death, has given irrefutable proof that he can also lift us up from our despair, lift us from our troubles, set us free from our sin and our sin blindness, and put a new song in our hearts. Let's sing that song of praise to God with all our hearts and all our might and with all our lives. Amen.